From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Grace Triumphant, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. We are come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Listener, have you come to the blood of sprinkling? The question is not whether you have come to a knowledge of doctrine or an observance of ceremonies or to a certain form of experience, but have you come to the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus is the life of all vital godliness. If you have truly come to Jesus, we know how you came. The Holy Spirit sweetly brought you there. You came to the blood of sprinkling with no merits of your own. Guilty, lost, and helpless, you came to take that blood, and that blood alone, as your everlasting hope. You came to the cross of Christ with a trembling and an aching heart. And oh, what a precious sound it was to you to hear the voice of the blood of Jesus. The dropping of His blood is as the music of heaven to penitent sons of earth. We are full of sin, but the Savior bids us lift our eyes to Him, and as we gaze upon His streaming wounds, each drop of blood as it falls cries, "It is finished! I have made an end of sin. I have brought in everlasting righteousness." O sweet language of the precious blood of Jesus! If you have come to that blood once, you will come to it constantly. Your life will be looking unto Jesus. Your whole conduct will be epitomized in this, to whom coming? Not to whom I have come, but to whom I am always coming. If thou hast ever come to the blood of sprinkling, thou wilt feel thy need of coming to it every day. He who does not desire to wash in that every day has never washed in it at all. The believer ever feels it to be his joy and privilege that there is still a fountain opened. Past experiences are doubtful food for Christians. A present coming to Christ alone can give us joy and comfort. This morning, let us sprinkle our doorpost fresh with blood, and then feast upon the Lamb, assured that the destroying angel must pass us by.
My stand.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Having been expelled from Philippi, Paul and Silas traveled to Thessalonica, to Berea, and ultimately to Athens, the great center of Greek philosophy. The Athenians regarded Paul's testimony of Christ's resurrection as foolishness, but opposition and persecution could not stop the advance of the gospel. No matter where he was, Paul preached Christ as he is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. This is still the pattern for preaching that brings souls to Christ and builds up God's people. Now, with the final portion of a message entitled Grace Triumphant, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, just notice this. Human philosophy never leads a man to the knowledge of God in truth. Human philosophy always leads to idolatry. And the God who is proved by human philosophy is always the figment of human imagination. I think if Dr. Van Til, the great Dutch-American theologian, if he has done anything, he has done this. And he has made people see that ungodly minds are enmity against God, and ungodly philosophy never leads to the truth. It leads to idolatry. Notice verse 19, they have an inquiry. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. We want to know this new, or literally this newer doctrine. Always looking for something a little newer. Don't we see the spirit of Athens even among Bible believers today? Is there something new? Is there a new theory on prophecy? Is there a new slant? Something new? My friend, the Bible never says look for the new paths. It says seek ye out the old paths. The well-worn paths of Bible doctrine. In fact, let me tell you, I believe that if a doctrine is new, it's of the devil. It's of the devil. There's no new doctrine. This Word of God has no new doctrines for us. Now, there have been new understandings, especially as we come to the end of the age. I often wonder why people bother their heads trying to figure out the 666 of prophecy. You'll understand it when the time comes. That's the time to understand it. But as far as doctrine is concerned, there's no new doctrine. Is there anything more to be said on the deity of Jesus Christ? Is there? There's not another word to be said on it except, yes, we believe it. Oh, I can find new evidences for it through the Bible, things that I haven't seen before. But the doctrine itself is there, and it's not up for investigation. It's not there to be questioned. The doctrine of the blood atonement, is there anything more to be said on it? I was reading in a very conservative magazine some time ago what they called, I think, a synthesis. I always get worried when Christians start to use these big words. First, I hardly understand them, and second, I don't think they understand them either. And they were talking about a synthesis between the old Calvinistic doctrine of election and the old Arminian doctrine of universal atonement, and let's bring them all together. A new doctrine. It was about as full of holes as a colander, and it made about as much sense as blatant contradictions. When you get into the realm of new doctrines, beware. That's the devil's territory. That's the devil's territory. But they wanted something new, or something newer, something more up to date. Can I hear echoes of Campus Crusade in that? Let's drop the old born again, washed in the blood, sealed from hell, fire theology. Let's talk about an encounter with God. Let's talk about something good going to happen to you. Let's update the language. I don't believe in that sort of nonsense. Something new? It's not something new this old world needs. It's the old-fashioned gospel preached in old-fashioned power with old-fashioned results and old-fashioned blessing. That's what we need. I'm not looking for anything new in this church. New to us, yes. Because in this day and age we've got so apostate and backslidden that we don't know the old paths and we haven't experienced the old thing. But I'm not looking for anything new in this church. I'm looking for what God has done before. In fact, I've been praying. I trust you'll join me in praying for this. I've been praying that God will take every God-given revelation of His power in revival that He has given in the past, that He'll take them and He'll concentrate them on this place and from it through this state, that He will divest us of every counterfeit, that He will remove every intrusion of the flesh, and that God will get to work in the old-fashioned way. He can do that. That's what we need. So they said, may we learn. Unfortunately, it was only a matter of idle curiosity. I don't want to labor this, but I find that most Christians are just the same. I have had people come to me and they say, look, how do I study the Bible? For years I have had this. How do I study the Bible? I say, I'll show you how to study the Bible. I remember once a girl who was going into full-time service. A And she said, I would love to, could you help me to study? I said, well, I'm in Belfast, lecturing, on a given day. I'd be glad to give you how to study. And then you can bring to me, after my lecture, you can bring to me the work you've done, and I'd be glad to look at it with you and go through it with you and discuss it with you and help you all I can. Now, the last thing I had in the world was time to do that. I'm being honest. It's the last thing I had in the world was time to do it. But if she wanted to study, then it's up to me to make time to help her. And so I said, I'll do it. I said, now this is what you do. I gave her the Ten Commandments of Bible study, and she looked at them. I said, now this is going to take time. This is not something you suddenly skate through. This is time. She hobbled through a little fraction of it the first week. Was ashamed to show me the book of the work that she had done. And that's the last I ever heard of it. And I could multiply that again and again and again. Inquiry. But it's just idle curiosity. If I could tell you, look, here's the key to Bible knowledge. It's just as simple as going to open a tin of pork and beans, and you just do that there and pour it out and you've got it. Everybody would say, give me that knowledge. But the Bible isn't like that. Bible's not like that. And you will only get to know the book of God as you spend time in the book of God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And if you're not going to take time with God, you're not going to learn anything from God. Then notice the instruction Paul gave. I'll have to leave you to study this for yourselves. It's a very controversial sermon Paul preached. I'm glad that he was a bit of a free Presbyterian and preached controversial things as well as I and the rest of the ministers. It's a very controversial sermon. In fact, some people think Paul failed the Lord in Athens. I always get a wee bit worried about these people that are looking for Paul's failures in every hand. Now, I'm saying that because I will have to say when I come to a later chapter that Paul did wrong. Out of zeal for God, he did wrong. He wasn't perfect. But if this is Paul's failure, God make me a failure. I'd rather have Paul's failure than many modern people's success. They say he failed in Athens. He preached too intellectual a sermon. I believe he preached what the Holy Ghost gave him. And I rather incline to the view of those who say that this is perhaps one of the most brilliant records of preaching anywhere to be found. What a message it is. He came, and I'll tell you this, he was scared of nothing. He was standing on Mars Hill, the highest court in Athens. Now, I think he wasn't on trial, but he could very easily have been on trial. Socrates, I want you to get this. Socrates, the darling of Greece, was put to death for the very charge that was led against Paul. A setter forth of strange gods. So Paul was really taking his life in his hands. And with courage and boldness he preached. Now notice what he says. He says, I see that you're altogether too superstitious, or very religious, I think is the meaning. You're very religious. I see your idols and your images all around. And among them I see one to the unknown God. And then he says, and why, what an introduction it was. Every young preacher should study this carefully. What an introduction it was. He says, verse 23, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to this with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I'm going to tell you who the unknown God is. And he starts to expound about the Lord. He speaks in verse 26 of the sovereignty of God, especially in creation and providence. He speaks verse 24, 29 of the spirituality of God. Man, that took courage. Turned around and he looked on idols everywhere, surrounded by them. Just above him there was the renowned Parthenon. And here he is in the home of idolatry. And he's speaking of the spirituality of God. And then verse 30 to 32, he speaks of the salvation of God. And I want you to get this. Faced with the representatives of the world's greatest learning, on the one hand, he had only two of the four schools of philosophy current then. He had only two of them there. But faced on the one hand with the Epicureans, the mark of the Epicurean was pleasure. Pleasure was his god. He was an atheist. The only thing was pleasure. And on the other hand, the Stoics, and the mark of the Stoic was pride. He was a pantheist. He believed that the world is God, and we are ruled by an inexorable fate. And we are to be so proud that we are unfeeling of our own pains and unfeeling of the pains of others. That was the Stoic. The pleasure of the Epicurean and the pride of the Stoic. And to them both Paul preached Christ. I want you to see it. He preached repentance. He preached judgment. And he preached Christ, the risen Savior. That's the message of God for man. Now can I leave you with this today? And if you're not saved, may God burn it in your heart. And if you are saved, may God burn it in your heart to give it to others. Verse 30. The times of this ignorance God winked at. The word simply means in forbearance he overlooked. As far as visiting with damnation was concerned, God held back the judgment. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is what moved Paul. Paul preached with the sight of hell before him. And I tell you, men and women, when we begin to live and pray and preach and witness with hell's fires burning before our eyes, then we begin to pray and preach and witness as did the early church. The day of divine judgment. I'll preach on that sometime. I'd hope to preach on it this morning, but I'll preach on it sometime. The day of divine judgment. God hath appointed a day. Oh, that we could see it. Oh, that we could have our hearts melted with the thought of the burning reality of God's hell. Paul looked at these Athenians and his heart went out to them, for they were going to hell. And he preached Christ risen from the dead. Now some of them mocked. Learned people stumble over the supernatural in the gospel of Christ, the resurrection from the dead. Some mocked. But some were saved. It doesn't matter what the world says about you or thinks about you or your message or anything else. You just preach it. You just be faithful. You just give the gospel. And let us labor with eternity's values in view. And leave it to God to save his people and to bless his word. May the Lord indeed give us a ministry as the apostles had, so that when we come to the end, we will have written over as what I have written over this chapter, grace triumphant, that there's nothing could stop these people going onward and forward in the power of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless the word of the truth of the gospel. Manifest thy power, O God, come upon us. Lord, turn the world upside down again. Lord, turn Greenville upside down. Turn this state upside down. O God, do a work, we pray. We ask thee, Lord, to visit us with revival. Thou dost see the iniquities of this day. Thou dost see the schemes, even soon to be put forward, further to desecrate thy day. Lord, turn them upon their end and send us a gracious awakening. Bless the word preached. Bless us again as we meet around thy word, first in Sunday school and then around the word in the evening service. God grant that it will redound to thy glory and the salvation of precious souls. Part us with the blessing of God. Keep us in the fear of God. Be the abiding portion of all the people of God, both now and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for His eternal glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.